Hello and welcome to a new series in Wrecking Thrones. I am James Kelly.
I'm Evan Camacho.
And now we are going to cover the Hands of the King. We've gone through the kings, we've gone through the claimants, and we still want to continue the show just a little bit more. And so we're going to talk about the claimant. We're going to talk about the Hands of the King. The Hands of the King, who in some ways were more powerful or had more influence than the kings they served. And we're going to start it off, of course, with the first Hand of the King. This week we are talking about Oris Baratheon. So, before we start about the sources, we have Fire and Blood and the World of Ice and Fire to go off of. So some good, rich material. And next question, Evan, is Oris mentioned in Game of Thrones? Yes, he is. He is mentioned in Game of Thrones. Just through, I'm doing a rewatch of Game of Thrones and posting my reviews online. Shameless plug. You can check him out at jamesthecomicswriter.wordpress.com. And when I rewatched the episodes, yes, Oris Baratheon is mentioned in Game of Thrones. When Ned opens his books of lineages, he opens to House Baratheon and reads Oris Baratheon had dark hair.
Lack of hair.
Yeah. So Oris Baratheon is mentioned. And yes, in the expanded, in the special features, he's talked about much more in detail in the conquests and lore, which is all territory we're about to talk about now.
Exactly.
So, the life and handship of Oris Baratheon. So, Oris is believed by many to be the bastard brother of Aegon the Conqueror and his sisters. Oris was no dragon rider, but he resided on Dragonstone with his siblings. Considering his parentage, Oris was a descendant from the Valyrians, and along with the Valyrians, spent many years hoping against all reason of returning to the east to restore the Valyrian Empire, which the Targaryens had been. It's weird, with the downfall of the Valyrian Empire, which the Targaryens had escaped. And not just escaped as in it was burning and they escaped. Like, no, they, like, one Targaryen foresaw it and warned and they left.
Well, they were nowhere near Valyria at the time. They just genuinely weren't.
And so, but they for centuries, like... centuries that they were looking east and thinking, well, maybe we can go back. Maybe we can go back and restart it all. And so even though they lived in Westeros, they were not thinking of Westeros for quite some time. After centuries of looking east, the Valyrians at last looked west thanks to King Argilac the Arrogant and King Harren the Black. Argilac the Arrogant was the ruler of the Stormlands. He was the descendant of the legendary House Durandon, who incurred the wrath of the gods when a Durandon married a water goddess. King Durandon defied and built castles that were destroyed by the raging storm gods. At last, a castle supposedly designed by a young Brandon the Builder stood in defiance of the gods. Argilac had the... For this reason, the castle was dubbed Storm's End. Argilac had the same passion and defiance in him as his forefather. Argilac the Arrogant's territory was facing the encroachment from the emerging superpower of Harren the Black, king of the Iron Islands and the Riverlands. Harren the Black forced Riverlanders to build an amazing castle that would have no equal. As they toiled on his monstrous castle, he consolidated and expanded his holdings. As he approached eastward to the Stormlands, Argilac desperately looked for allies. Argilac went to the Lord of Dragonstone, Aegon Targaryen. He offered the hand of his daughter, Princess Argilla, in marriage along with control of the Riverlands in exchange for an alliance. Considering that Aegon already had two wives and Argilac had no control of the Riverlands, it was hardly an enticing offer. Still, Lord Aegon, it's so weird to say.
I know.
Lord Aegon humored the alliance by instead offering his best friend and bastard brother, Oris Baratheon, to marry Princess Argilla. Argilac, knowing Oris's parentage, was greatly insulted. Argilac angrily returned Aegon's emissary's hand, saying, "These are the only hands your bastard will have!"
Big mistake.
Yep. Aegon, insulted by the haughty king, commissioned a great wooden map of Westeros and planned his conquest of the Seven Kingdoms. So you can, in many ways, blame Argilac the Arrogant.
Oh, gee, wonder they call him the Arrogant.
Aegon had ravens sent to all the capitals of the Seven Kingdoms, declaring himself the king of Westeros. No king swore fealty to the Dragon Lord.
Shocker there.
Aegon landed in the south of Westeros, where he declared himself king to the cheer of some people who were there. He also crucially dubbed Lord Valyrian as Aegon's master of ships. But most significant of all, he dubbed Oris his right hand, giving rise to the new title, Hand of the King. This position was informal, but it would come to define ruling Westeros. The Hand of the King would be the second most powerful man in Westeros. As we will cover throughout this Hand series, the influence and power of said hands could wildly range depending on who was king. As Hand of the King, Oris was tasked with command of Aegon's ground forces. He gained sizable forces when Lord Tully and other lords of the Riverlands pledged fealty to King Aegon after the tyranny of Harren the Black. Aegon demonstrated the true might and terror of the dragons when he had Harrenhal burnt. See our Aegon the Conqueror episode. While this battle would be instrumental to Aegon's conquest, his hand would have an equally impressive and dangerous battle. Free of the great threat of the tyrant Harren the Black, Aegon turned his attention to the headstrong and foolish king that began the war, Argilac the Arrogant. Argilac knew that Harrenhal was destroyed, and wanting to avoid being trapped in his castle, he brought his army outside to confront the Dragon King's army. Argilac would not face Aegon, but his task would be no less difficult as he faced Oris Baratheon and Rhaenys Targaryen. Argilac proved his name of Argilac the Arrogant at the Battle of Bronze Gate, a battle where Argilac believed his numerical superiority guaranteed him advantage over Oris's army. Thanks to intelligence gathered from Rhaenys, Oris knew the numbers he faced and took the higher ground on a hill to face off against Argilac. The gods seemed to favor the conquerors as a storm came to the with a torrent so serious that Argilac's men urged delay. Argilac, unable to stomach Targaryen banners flying in his lands, refused. The battle would come to be known as the Last Storm. There, Argilac's heavy horse would fail as the ground was so muddy that they would fall into disorder, leading to great slaughter by the Baratheon forces. Argilac had greater luck with his spearmen, as the rain made visibility difficult for the uphill Baratheons, allowing Argilac's army to advance upward. They succeeded in taking some of the hill, only to then find Rhaenys and Meraxes waiting. Meraxes' dragonfire caused men to panic and flee. With Argilac's forces in chaos, at last Oris charged onto King Argilac. Although an old man, Argilac was still a great warrior, as he had fended off half a dozen men. Oris ordered his men to stand aside as he confronted the king. He urged Argilac to surrender and bend the knee to Aegon. Argilac angrily refused, and the two clashed, with Oris emerging victorious. News of the fall of Argilac came to Storm's End. Princess Argilla crowned herself the Storm Queen, and proudly said that she refused to surrender her kingdom to the Dragon Lords. Her own people, fearful of facing the same fate that befell Harrenhal, did not share their queen's resolve, and opened the gates to Orys and his army. Queen Argyla was brought before Orys Baratheon naked, trembling, and in chains. Rather than pleased by this, Orys offered Lady Queen Argyla a blanket to cover herself. He then took her into his tent and privately discussed how her father died. Soon, Orys Baratheon won the heart of Princess Argyla, and Lord Orys would indeed marry Argyla of House Durandon. The very thing that started the war ended up happening. Aegon's offer came to pass. Aegon, in gratitude to his dearest friend and ally, declared Orys Lord Paramount of the Stormlands. Orys was also made the new House Baratheon effectively the continuation of House Durandon, as he adopted the Durandon sigil and words for his own. So he took the stag and the words "Ours is the Fury" to be the new for House Baratheon.
Good.
So in essence, he was just continuing it under a new name. And he was married to the heir to House Durandon.
Continues on. House Baratheon.
Yeah. Yes. And the blood of House Durandon still is in House Baratheon.
Cool. So Baratheon's a man and a Targaryen.
Yep.
How fitting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Orys would travel with Aegon and see King Torrhen Stark bend the knee. Soon after, the Vale would pledge fealty to Aegon the Conqueror, making 6 of the 7 kingdoms under the dominion of Aegon. However, one kingdom notably refused to bow down to Aegon the Conqueror. In Dorne, Maria Martell, a.k.a. the Yellow Toad of Dorne, proudly rebuffed Queen Rhaenys' envoy. She proudly swore that Dorne would never bend the knee. After consolidating his kingdom and beginning to turn the hastily crafted Aegon Fort into the City of King's Landing, Aegon the Conqueror turned his attention to Dorne. To everyone's confusion, when Aegon invaded the lands, were mostly abandoned by lords and people. Claiming victory, Aegon appointed a Lord of Dorne and left. However, the new Lord of Dorne was quickly executed by the Dornish, who refused to be ruled by Aegon. Aegon responded by beginning a more punitive tactic when he had Rhaenys burn Dorne. However, to the astonishment of all, a bolt managed to pierce Meraxes and the great dragon fell to her death, along with presumably her rider. With Rhaenys dead, Aegon began a blood vendetta on Dorne. Orys Baratheon led a land invasion of Dorne, but his forces were soon trapped in the Bone Way off of the River Weal. The Dornish men had the Stormlanders soon in a narrow passage with an army facing them and a controlled rockside blocking their only escape. The Dornish men would slaughter Orys' forces, sparing only Lord Orys and 12 other men. Jeez. They were held hostage by Wheel of Wheel, who was known as the Widow Lover.
Great.
Orys Baratheon was ransomed by Aegon 3 years later under the terms that Aegon had to pay Wheel's hostages weight in gold. But before freeing them, Wheel had the sword hand of each man cut off to prevent them from ever attacking Dorne. Orys was deeply embittered and furious about this and would swear vengeance on House Wheel. Orys Baratheon returned to his friend and king and solemnly resigned as Hand of the King. He justified it by saying that it would be too easy for him to be ridiculed as Hand of the King with no hand. Still, Orys would be an important lord and voice for King Aegon. Orys Baratheon would coldly suggest they take Princess Duria Martell's hand when she came to Aegon the Conqueror for peace.
Yep.
In the reign of Aenys I, Orys Baratheon would finally be given the chance to have vengeance on the Wheels. A Dornish outlaw dubbed the Vulture King began attacks in the south that was controlled by the Iron Throne. Seizing the opportunity for revenge, the Lord of Storm's End led his force to expunge the outlaw. Lord Walter Wheel, the son of Wheel of Wheel, led half of the Vulture King's forces as he attacked Stonehelm, the seat of House Swan. Lord Walter... Oh, yeah. The Baratheon army would slaughter the Dornish forces. A wounded Lord Walter Wheel was brought before a vengeful Orys. Orys took Walter Wheel's hands and his feet. On the road home, Lord Orys died of his wounds from the battle, but he is said to have died happy, as he died smiling at the hands and feet dangling in his tent.
Jesus.
And that is the story of the first Hand of the King, Orys Baratheon. Hmm. Interesting story.
Indeed.
Interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
So... we didn't discuss the categories, so let me discuss our new categories. First category will be the hand, where we judge his actions and decisions as a hand. The positive decisions, mostly.
Yes.
Then the next category, the king's fist, where we discuss your ability to execute force in the name of the king.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the negative category, the fun negative category. And for this, we're calling it Demon Monkey. As in what Tyrion, in honor of Tyrion Lannister,
yep.
The Demon Monkey he was known as. So how much do you make poor decisions and poor advice to your king?
Right.
And how much does the king follow said horrible advice?
Right.
And how much do you sometimes also... maybe have no sway over King from continuing to make bad decisions.
Fool.
We'll cover all this. Then, of course, the lighter category again, portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Just to judge how you look. And then the final category of stag or Bambi or whatever your house sigil is, in terms of where we judge whether or not you were someone that would truly be remembered, someone that was really stood out as an important pivotal figure, right. Or if you were just a footnote. And again, as we said before, important does not mean good.
Right.
So let's get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the ranking part. First off, time is hand. Orys was Hand of the King for 7 years, so 7 points.
Okay.
All right. In the category of the hand, here are my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Orys was able to woo Princess Argilla and treated her with respect and managed to make the transition of House Durandon into House Baratheon peaceful, as Orys fully adopted the Durandon sigil and words for his new house.
Good.
While not a political genius, he chose to resign as Hand of the King following his defeat, capture, and maiming. While still a powerful lord, his credibility as the second most powerful person in the realm was diminished by these actions, by what had fallen to him. So it was, I would argue, a wise choice to say, like, look, the illusion's up for me.
Right.
I'm no longer... it's not just that, like, that he lost his hand, although, yeah, symbolism is very important. It's that, like,
right.
He was captured.
Right.
And he recognized that.
People are going to think of me as weak.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to think of you as weak.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good move. Very good move. Tragedy, but good move.
He embodied Aegon's policy of assimilating to the customs and traditions of his newly conquered people. By what we said earlier, of the smooth transition of House Durandon into House Baratheon.
Very good.
So what do we think? We don't have a ton of really...
We don't.
Of Orys really being like this kind of counselor to Aegon.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the culture of Westeros, he was much more of a warrior hand.
Right.
But he helped very much... enact his policy.
He was a warrior hand at a warrior time.
Yep.
And
let's not downplay this, though. He was one of the critical points, people that helped Aegon the Conqueror conquer Westeros.
Yes.
And he, under his command, specifically, one of the kingdoms fell.
Yeah. Under
his command.
One of the big ones, too.
Yeah. All him.
Hmm.
And he was able to win over, in the perfect propaganda piece, Princess Argyla.
Right.
So he managed to both conquer, but also make it seem acceptable.
Exactly. So, but he did.
I think for what he is.
Yes. For what he was, he was exactly what Aegon needed. And when he wasn't, he stepped down and said, I'm done.
I was originally going to go as far as 8.
Me too, actually.
I think I should, though, go about 7.5.
I'm still going to give him an 8 because he was smart enough to know. He was smart enough to know when he was done, which very, very, very few people in power do have.
Which might be the subject of our next episode.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
So, next category, the King's Fist. Mm-hmm. This is where he's probably going to score the best.
Yes.
Oris personally commanded the conquest of the Stormlands. Oris was always the commander of Aegon's land forces, during which 6 of the 7 kingdoms were conquered.
Very good.
And even though he did this when he wasn't Hand of the King, I'm still going to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
He helped Aenys the First in obliterating the threat of the Vulture King.
Very good.
So all of this is really good in his favor.
Yes. I would say...
Unfortunately, he did lose that big battle in Dorne, so I can't give him a 10.
No, but I think I will give him a 7.
I think I would go as far as an 8 for this. Because he's just being really effective as a warrior.
He was very effective, but it was that last one. And that last one was such a debacle.
Yeah.
Caused him.
But then everyone debacles in that. So that's a bit more complicated. But I maintain my score. I maintain an 8. And you
give him a 7.5.
Oh. This is becoming a running theme.
Exactly.
15. All right, 15.5 again.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a bit of a theme here.
Bleh.
All right, hold on a sec. Okay. So, next category, Demon Monkeys.
Oh, God.
So, Demon Monkeys. So, his capture was the beginning of Aegon's war with Dorne, turning into a prolonged quagmire.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, the death of Rhaenys is when it suddenly goes into, this war is not going to end anytime soon.
Yep.
But, his capture is this is, turning into a mess.
Right, it's oh, no.
He suggested maiming Daria Martell when she came as a guest.
Mm.
So he was suggesting breaking guest right.
Yes.
Though, in his defense, people suggested far worse be done to the Dornish envoys when they came to Aegon to bring peace. So, it's still bad, And yes, he was also one of the voices that urged Aegon not to make peace with Dorne. Not as much as Visenya, but he was also saying, no. Obviously, he was... understandably personally biased in this, but it's no way.
It's cut him a little bit of slack. He's got a personal grudge.
Yeah. But it's he was no way, no. Keep on doing this war. Keep on doing it.
And they kept on doing this war for 150 freaking years.
Well, but we're talking about the Conqueror's Age right now. But yeah.
True. But you're right.
When they were really, when they were really, really trying to conquer it. And this is like before, like, Darren the First tries it, then to really seriously do it over 100 years later. He exacted his revenge on the son of his enemy, who was theoretically innocent, son of his enemy. But in his defense, Walter Wheel had invaded Aegon's kingdom.
Right.
So, how innocent was he?
50-50.
Yeah. So, what do we think?
He's good. He's not great, but there's some good in there. I think he was, if not willing to be temperate, at least Aegon was smart enough to know that he was going too far. So I'd give him a 4 because he had some rash ideas, but at least
I think I'd go about 5 because he does have rash ideas, but by the point he really has rash ideas, he's not Hand of the King.
Yes.
He's a counselor. That's
just a grudge.
It's also a little bit of like he just has the conqueror's mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got the Baratheon mindset, which is if you've got a problem, take out your sword or warhammer and hack it up.
Yeah, he was a swordsman. He wasn't a warhammer guy.
But
I'll give. Yeah, I maintain 5. I do think going back, we did make a mistake when it came to Aegon the Conqueror and Dorne, and like this is course correcting is like he's part of that. Of like when he got captured, that's not really. It's just like the Dornish know their country better than he does.
Right.
Even so, though, it's just like it. It's just like. This it's is like just, he did not sway his friend to kind of the right course of peace. He was like, no, buddy. No.
We finished this.
Yeah. So. And he did give up on being Hand of the King.
Yeah.
For the right reasons, but mostly the right reasons, but still.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to go, I will go 5.
I'm still going to maintain 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not too critical.
No.
Yeah.
It would have been worse. Could have been much worse.
We are going to get worse.
Oh dear. Oh yes.
Like, when we get to Tywin, it's going to be amazing debate. Just amazing, rich topic. Yeah, we're foaming at the bit, but we're going to get there. Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. Not for a while, though. So, sending over 2 portraits.
Mm-hmm.
First one is from The World of Ice and Fire. And this is just a profile. It's not in profile, but it's just a profile.
Let's take a look.
Hold on. Sorry. All right, sending that one over. The other one is fan art.
Okay.
It's a pretty gorgeous piece of fan art.
Yeah, it is. Looks just like Robert.
Yeah.
Looks very much like Robert.
Yep.
Oh. Yes. I don't know. I'm going to give him a 4.5 out of 5.
Yep. I agree.
He looks every bit the freaking ruler.
Looks like a handsome, wise counselor.
Mm-hmm. Strong warrior.
Yep.
A worthy hand to a conqueror.
Yep. Absolutely, I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives him a total of 56. Not a bad start. Pretty good score. Pretty good score.
Yeah.
All right. So with all that in mind, what do we think the final verdict on Orys Baratheon? Is he a stag or is he a Bambi? Is he someone who would be remembered or is he ultimately a footnote? You know,
to be remembered.
I think he ultimately, he's just on the cusp of just narrowly edging in Stag in my vote.
Yes, I agree.
It's like, it's close. Like, definitely, like, he's overshadowed by Rhaenys and Visenya and obviously Aegon.
Yes. But he's...
But he's pretty much, like, the more, like, comprehensible version of all those figures.
He's exactly what they needed. He's exactly what he needed.
And the story of defeating Argilac the Arrogant in single combat, and then winning over Princess Argala.
Right.
Like, that's such a big story that, like, the singers would obviously remember and celebrate.
Right.
In the middle of the Conqueror story. So, yeah.
Line.
And what?
He did found the Baratheon line.
Yeah, so, and he founded the house, so yeah. It's weird. Like, the great thing about Orys is, like, he both founded the line, but at the same time, he didn't really found the house. Like, he just, right. Continued the house.
Yeah.
He just, was like, yeah. No. Like, House Brandon, it's still, we're going to keep everything. Like, it's just, like, now I'm the leader of the house now. And we're
now just going to change the name a little bit.
We're just changing the name, and we're no longer kings, and that's it.
Right.
We're still a house.
Not much change.
So,
there
you
have it.
Okay, there we have it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's thanks for tuning in. Next week, we're going to talk about another Baratheon Hand of the King.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the last Baratheon Hands of the Kings.
Ooh.
Rhaegar Baratheon.
Hmm.
So what do we think about him and his time as not just Hand of the King, but regent for Jaehaerys the Conciliator? So
Ooh.
So see you then.
See you then, everybody.